Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome to Little Fish, the new show from No Such Thing as a Fish, the makers of, and this is my first time hosting it, and what do I say aside from that?
You sound like we've got a gun to your head.
That's how I feel every time I come in here.
First of all, tell everyone the date and the headline on the piece of newspaper that you're holding. And then you just have to say who we are, what the show is,
yes,
and then we'll get into some facts.
This is when we can't be bothered to do any more research for ourselves, so instead we dip into our inbox and we have a look at all the great facts you've found for us, and we're hoping this eventually becomes a self-making show and we don't need to do any more work ourselves. So thank you for providing some amazing facts this week in our inbox. And who's got a good one to kick us off?
I've got a good one. Nice to see you all after a long week that we've had since the last one of these that we did.
Yeah. Barely remember what you guys look like.
Well, actually, cast your minds back all that time. We were talking about sumo wrestlers, and I have a fact here about sumo from Matthew Bright. And Matthew says that each year, professional sumo tournaments in Japan consume about 4,000 kilograms of salt.
Is that because they throw, don't they throw salt?
They throw salt, yeah. So this is what Matthew's worked out. So each tournament lasts 15 days and they're held 6 times a year. And each tournament consumes about 650 kilograms of salt, according to a journalist, which Matthew found. And then if you work that all out, it's 4,000 kilograms. And the salt is like to purify the ring.
Interesting.
And for, like you say, ceremonial reasons. And yeah.
Does it grit it as well? Does it give you good... Because a lot of it is about holding your stance.
You're absolutely right. But the ring itself is like made... It's got sand in it anyway, I think, which means it's quite well gritted. But yeah, it can't hurt. Yeah, especially on a cold day.
Yeah. When it's on ice. Yeah, sumo exactly. On ice.
Is... Sumo on ice.
Now why has that not been done?
I mean, that has to be a thing, doesn't it?
We're getting a lot of sumo action in London at the moment.
We are.
There's a lot of exhibition matches that have been happening at places like the Royal Albert Hall.
Have you ever been walking around London and just seen the sumo wrestlers?
I saw a guy go past on a bike. Weird,
On a bike?
Oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah. That's a cartoon. Are you sure that wasn't a cartoon you saw?
I'm pretty sure I saw him on a bike. It was just down the road. And yeah, they're all over. Well, certainly when they were in town, you would see them everywhere. Yeah,
was he on like a child's bike? Tiny, tiny.
It looked like that, probably.
Yeah.
I went to the final of the year of sumo in Tokyo when I was there, which was very cool, but it was the day we arrived and we were so jet lagged, we both fell asleep in the middle of the tournament.
Oh, no. Ouch.
I felt like people should have been throwing salt on us to keep us awake.
Yeah, smelling salts.
Yeah.
Chuck those out.
Yeah.
Do you guys throw salt over your shoulder for good luck when
I
you
do,
use
actually,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though I know it's stupid and I'm not very superstitious generally, I just like, I think it's cool.
It is cool.
I have found myself in restaurants going, who's that cool guy? The salt thing.
I wouldn't do it in a restaurant. It's when I'm cooking and I spill some.
Okay, right.
Like, it's when you spill it, not when you put it on your food, right?
Yes.
What do you mean when you spill it?
Like, that's the idea with the...
Oh.
So you spill salt and that's very bad luck. And so you throw some over your shoulder into the devil's face.
Oh, we just did it whenever we salt anything, salt it and then toss it over your shoulder.
Oh, I'm not that cool.
Well, I've always been a few rungs above you, haven't I? But since being the person who cleans the house rather than my mother when I was a kid, when we all did it, I've realised it's an incredibly annoying habit. I wouldn't let anyone do that in my house. It's just salt on the floor the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. But at least you're not slipping over, and it's also purified spiritually.
There you go. Good that's point. Why there's no ghost in your house.
Do you know that sumo wrestlers, if you're a sumo wrestler, you are associated with a 9.8-year negative lifespan compared to a non-sumo wrestler?
Does make a bit of sense, doesn't it?
It does, but actually, like most sports, if you do them, you have a longer lifespan.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you know, if you're a gymnast, you have a 8.2 years higher life expectancy. And there is one sport.
Sorry, that's unbelievable. 8.2 year higher life expectancy. Yeah. Is it too late?
Not a gymnast. For you to be a gymnast, yeah. I'm afraid so, Anna. They're usually about 14, aren't they?
Yeah, max.
What an amazing sudden entry into the British.
Former podcaster, Anna Dzinski, quit last year to become the roly-poly specialist.
There is one sport, according to this study that I read this in, that has a higher improvement of life expectancy, and I can't find out why. And it doesn't make any sense. Oh. But do you want to guess what it is?
Yeah, okay.
Curling.
Curling, no.
Skateboarding.
Skateboarding, no. It is pole vaulting.
What?
Oh.
Pole vaulters live on average 8.4 years longer than the rest of us.
Must be something to do with the clean air they're getting access to at the, the top bit.
Definitely
yeah,
that,
do you think? Or maybe, you know, like... there's something about special relativity if you're in space, like time slows down or
oh,
something.
Oh, yes. You don't age, of course.
The time traveling. Wow.
God, they must have got better since I last watched the pole vault if they're getting that high.
It's really fun these days. They go up and they come down 3 years younger. It's, yeah, it's very cool.
But yeah, I don't know why that is. My guess is that probably compared to these other sports is quite a small sample size.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Great mystery to solve. Shall I do one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. This is from Duncan Pierce. There are 10,000 accordions under a parking lot in a Swedish town called Alvdalen.
Dude, I feel like Andy gives you the hard ones to pronounce.
I think so as well. And also often when we're doing the names of the custodians,
yeah,
every difficult one seems to land on you.
It does. No,
it's so weird.
When you walk through this parking lot, does it go...
Wait, is that your accordion impression?
Well, my accordion's very old.
Nice. Yeah.
It's got a few holes in it.
Clearly.
I can play the accordion.
Can you?
Yeah, yeah, I have an accordion. I think, have I ever, I didn't bring it on any shows or anything.
I feel like we did something where I've heard you play yeah, in context of a potential live show piece.
Yeah, maybe when we did like a pre-show or something.
Yeah.
Did. I can't remember.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I do have an accordion and it doesn't sound anything like that. Even when I play it, who's not that good at it.
Why did we not let you play it? I should give you a bit more on this.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
on this
why?
Yeah, this is Duncan sends in saying he watched a documentary called The Accordion Graveyard in Alvdalen, and the hosts try to uncover the prominent myth in the Swedish accordion community that 10,000 accordions are buried there. And they try to get to the bottom of this major myth about...
Wait, why? What's behind the myth? Why would they be buried there?
Yeah.
Who's come up with... accordion to whom?
Brilliant.
Lovely.
Thank you.
So there's a leading theory.
Okay.
That the society has. It's that they are old Eastern European accordions which were bought by Hagstrom in the 1930s. They were planning on renovating, but by the 1960s, the accordion market took a big dip.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't selling as well, and they had outsourced a lot of the industry to Asia, so they buried their inventory. The exact number of accordions isn't known, but the myth says that there is 10,000. And so they did this documentary, and they found, yeah, there's a lot.
What did they do? They dug it up like Time Team, and they found them?
Yeah, yeah, they found remnants of a lot of them. I don't think they found 10,000.
Well, some of them would have decomposed, wouldn't they? The less well-made ones. That's, hold on. So there were actually, I thought this was a bullshit myth made up by this mad community of accordion aficionados. And it's actually true. There are 10,000 accordions buried under a parking lot.
I feel like you would need that ending for the documentary to work.
Oh, yeah. Do you reckon the doco makers went in the middle of the night and dug some holes and put some accordions in there?
Very true.
You've cracked it.
Very true. You'd hear them, though, in the night putting them in, wouldn't you?
Where's the mute button on this bastard?
If you ever, in 10,000 years, if someone digs up that parking lot, they'll probably think like the king of tedious, annoying instruments was buried there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yes.
You're so right. Do you think all kind of Egyptian pyramids were actually like people had too many... To, what do you
too
get?
Many bricks. Too many bricks. Just put them in a pile. Yeah, not that pile. It's a slightly neater pile.
Stuff inside them. But yeah. All right, moving on. Let's have a fact. Let's have a fact from Hayley Wilson. And she's titled this, Aussie bystanders spooked by boobs means women less likely to receive CPR than men. And basically,
yes.
When you sort of think it back in your head, it does make sense. And her fact is that CPR training dummies with boobs on them are now being used at surf lifesaving clubs in New South Wales because women are less likely to receive CPR. They're 10% less likely to receive it and 50% less likely to receive defibrillation from bystanders in an emergency because reasons cited were people a bit scared of the boobs.
I think ironically, these have been made for like slightly prudish people, but probably going to be utilized by perverts.
That's why I bought mine.
Yeah, they've all mysteriously disappeared, it does say. So, yeah.
You don't use tongues for the kiss of life, Dan.
There's a good punchline. The initiative is called CPHER.
H-E-R.
It should be called CPBRA.
That's a better one.
Good. Good. You should have been on the PR team.
Then they don't let me near the dolls anymore.
Okay, here is another one about body parts questionable. It's by Ori Folger, and Ori says that eye drops made from pig semen deliver cancer treatment to mice.
So many things in that fact.
Bit of a headline, really.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing, I think, because I read this article a week or two ago and immediately put it in my file of possible headlines for Fish.
Okay.
But now it's come in from an audience member. I think that could be a problem in future. If our audience gets better and better at finding facts, we're going to have none left for ourselves.
We might become what Anna said at the top of the show, just entirely an audience fact show. Yeah.
Lovely.
Maybe. So what this is that there's a type of cancer called a retinoblastoma. It's very hard to get the medicine to it. And what they've managed to do is take advantage of the fact that sperm can penetrate eggs. But instead of penetrating the eggs, they penetrate the eye.
Amazing.
And it's basically a part of the sperm called exosomes, which are tiny little bubbles of fat which can send the proteins into the egg. They've not tried this in humans yet, but they think that it seems to work in mice. And so why not try it in humans? Right. I don't think it's you actually get a pig sperm. I think it's like you extract these proteins from it. And then you attach those onto some agar jelly or something. I don't know. And send it through that way.
Yeah.
And whose job is it to masturbate the pig? In this.
Call Rebecca Luce. That's an old callback.
Wow, that's a deep cut to pop culture from about 10 years ago. Yeah.
When we first did this podcast 12 years ago, that would have been on the cutting edge of satire.
I feel like that's so recent still. Maybe it's because it's the only pop culture news I've known about for the last 20 years.
Yeah, well, anytime he has a big moment, like a documentary came out about his life, she's back in the news.
David Beckham?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's David Beckham's ex-mistress who was on a reality show and excited a porcine fellow contestant.
Yes. Alleged ex-mistress.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not allowed in any showings of Peppa Pig.
Her and David Cameron go to the same help group, don't they? Right, next up.
Yes, please.
I got a little etymology one here. So,
oh, thank God.
As you know, this will be butchered by me. But Chris Perry writes in, here's a submission for Little Fish. If a Welsh rugby team was made up of Joneses, Jenkinses, Davises, and Evanses, they would be the least Welsh rugby team ever.
What?
Yeah.
They're the most common Welsh names, aren't they?
Yeah, but not in the old Welsh alphabet because the letters V, J, and K do not appear in the old Welsh alphabet. And I've got a little chart here that you guys can see of how the Welsh language works. So you've got A, B, C, and then Ch, D, double D, E, F, double F, G, N, G, H, I, L. Go straight to L. So we've got no...
Sounds
J,
like bra
then.
Sizes, doesn't it?
It does a little. Double D, I think, is pronounced like an F, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like Cardiff ends in double D in Welsh.
Yes, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Not very good on Welsh. But yeah, the thing is with Welsh surnames is that they didn't traditionally have surnames in Wales. but the British forced the surnames onto them. And so they all just chose like Evans, son of Evan, or Jones, son of John. Like that's why they've got so few surnames and they're all quite similar. Williams, son of William. They were just...
Yeah, but they could still say those, as in they still had the sounds in their language of those things. They just look like different letters.
Yeah, exactly. I think Chris was just enjoying the quirk of the letters as we'd recognise them today are so prominent in modern Welsh names.
All right, Chris, just want to clarify that they could still say those sounds.
Yes. Yeah, we don't want the Welsh writing in.
Yeah, right. He has, I should, for his defence, say naturally this is an interesting insight into Welsh language, and I would never suggest a Welsh rugby player called Jones is not truly Welsh, at least not to his or her face.
Absolutely.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I've got another one here. It's from Alistair Patterson, who opens with, "My stupid little fact is," which I'm going to say, don't do yourself down, Alistair.
Let us be the judge of that.
Yeah. So we're about to judge it. "My stupid little fact is that the Australian island state of Tasmania technically shares an 85-metre land border with Victoria."
Oh.
I actually love stuff. I love cartography cock-ups.
Yeah. Well, you've been to Tassie quite a lot of times, right?
Yeah, kept trying to find the land border, got very wet. Yeah.
Is like Kangaroo Island belongs to both of them or something?
There is an island which wasn't supposed to be on the land border. It's called Boundary Islet, so they should have known based on the name. No, it didn't used to be on the boundary. So in 1801, a guy called Captain John Black made a mapping error, and he determined that this place, which is now called Boundary Islet, was slightly further north than it actually was. And so if it was further north enough, it would just be Victorian. And then they remeasured everything and they realized the islet was actually a bit further south and it's bisected by the border. So they share it.
Do they have like really hilarious things that happen to the people who live near the border? Or, you know, you can buy fireworks on one side and pornography on the other side.
Shouldn't they?
Or is it just an island where no one lives apart from a few sheep?
I'm afraid it's really an island where literally nothing whatsoever happens. It's of no consequence whatsoever. But maybe they'll find a huge oil well beneath it at some point.
Does it have any like natural lie of the land that might be good for a podcast to play in? Like a little raised area where a podcast can do their show and then a little area where some audience can sit?
Yeah, he didn't specify, but I'm sure we could have something erected.
This could be where we play.
This is our next gig.
I think now we probably can't sell out the Sydney Opera House anymore, that we've been insulting Australians quite a lot over the last few months. So we might have to play this island where no one lives.
Is that so you can say we've sold out venues in Victoria and Tasmania?
Two shows in one, yeah. That's great. We did go to New Zealand and the three of us did an episode in a toilet.
We did, yeah.
Or just next to the toilet. So we are...
Was that us three? Andy wasn't there,
yeah,
was he?
Yeah, Andy wasn't there, yeah. So currently we are playing in Mean Doses is the bar it's called. We're in their toilet with an exclusive episode.
Yeah. Because Buttons was there like this week, right?
That's
right.
He
sent us a message.
Yeah, so Leon, who was on an episode of one of our live tour shows in New Zealand when Andy was away, he randomly was there and he sent us a video and it's still playing in the toilet.
Because this is one that we found. Listen, sent us a thing in years ago saying that it constantly played No Such Thing as a Fish in the toilets, and so we recorded an episode there. But they don't play that episode in the toilets, do they? They still play our old episodes.
No, they play that toilet.
Just literally play that one over and over again?
If you're
now
listening to this show and you think you've listened to every single episode of No Such Thing as a Fish, unless you've been in that toilet, you are wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I've forgotten.
They were playing it exclusively, but now they've put it on rotation with a few other episodes. I think maybe they got some complaints about the repetition, you know.
Yeah.
This is the 9th poo I've had in here where I'm listening to the same episode.
They're like, no, that's a different episode. It's just Andy is still talking about his book.
Can I say something? This is so tangential, but about toilets that I wonder every single day.
Yep.
And I just want to know if a listener has an answer. So I often work in a cafe, local cafe, and lots of people work in cafes. And I always think, do they have special drainage sewage systems, because obviously what people do in cafes, they drink coffee. There's no way that every single person in that cafe isn't going to the toilet at some point and doing a huge turd, right? And, and then I always think, if that, this many people are doing that, they must have amazing toilets to not be blocked. And I just wanted to know if cafes, if that's a thing, if you run a cafe or if you own a cafe, if you have to invest in really heavy duty sewage systems.
Interesting. Well,
you know, Six Things of Fish asking all the big questions. Yeah. You don't hear this on the Restless Politics, do you?
I would love to have Rory Stewart's take on shitting in cafes. anyway, any more for any more?
I think that's enough. That's good. Anyway, that's good.
Well, we'll finish on that. Good. Let us know. That was lovely, lovely spending time with all of you here today. And it is now time to give you a little gift, some of you a little gift. So at the end of our Little Fish episodes, we hand over a fact to very special members of our top tier of the Secret Club Fish. And so we're going to give some facts to people to be custodians of for the rest of eternity, aren't we? And yeah. James, who are you going to give a fact to?
Okay, I can offer custodianship of this fact to Timothy Sitt.
Timothy Sitt!
Well, it's quite appropriate to your name, because your fact is that the trailer for the longest movie ever made is 72 minutes long.
Wow.
And I imagine you would have to sit through it, Timothy.
You wouldn't want to be standing.
No.
All right, here's another one. This goes out to Eric Olofsson. And your fact is, in the Middle Ages, lots of churches had statues of Jesus which had moving arms so he could be taken down from the cross and carried around.
What's really cool about that is Eric Olofsson. Yeah. Sounds like he's from the Middle Ages. Doesn't he?
We're already very much on the line taking the piss out of Welsh surnames.
Yeah.
I don't think we should go up to Scandinavia now. I'm sure Olafsson is a perfectly normal name.
It just sounds pre-Norman.
Yes. Yes.
I do remember this one. This was one of my favourite facts we've ever done, actually. This was your fact, I think, Dan, wasn't it?
That's right. It was Andy's.
I've never been able to tell the difference between the two. I will take the next fact, shall I? So here's a fact for Holly Miller.
Okay.
Holly Miller, guard this fact. Twice in its history, America has been run by a shepherd.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
Well, yeah, with their flock of sheep.
Who would that have been?
Oh, there was which was the president who kept a sheep on his lawn? That was maybe Teddy Roosevelt, someone around the turn of the 20th century. But that doesn't necessarily mean he was a shepherd.
Feels like it would be one of the early ones who was a shepherd.
Yeah.
But I bet it wasn't Madison, because we've done him on the main show recently and we would remember that.
Yeah, it wasn't Madison, not a shepherd.
His wife was called Dolly, who was a sheep.
That's a good point. That's
very good.
This is blowing wide open.
Yeah.
I think Tyler. Is it Henry Tyler?
No, John Tyler.
John Tyler. Well, I think it was Henry Tyler.
This was a very fun episode because we had Rufus Hound on.
We did.
And this was Rufus's fact. And do you remember in the old QI office where we recorded, just below us was a barber shop, and it just so happened that is where Rufus used to get his mustache and beard and hair done. And he said, "Oh, I've booked a haircut. And I need to go halfway through the recording of the episode."
Yeah. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was wild.
And so we paused it and he went away and he took a very long time. And we think, and I want to ask Rufus this.
We think he went for an enormous poo and there was a problem with the sewage system, because they're like, "We're not a cafe."
Go do your poos in Nero, Rufus. Jesus. We've got a theory.
We've got a theory that he didn't do as much research as he hoped he could have done, and he was feeling it during the episode. And so when he went down, he just did a lot more research, because when he came back, he was packed with facts, as Rufus is about everything. But
His hair still looks shit. So
he's a very presentable man, Rufus Hound.
Yeah. Do you know how he came on the show as well? So the reason he came on is I bumped into him on the street a couple of weeks before while I was walking down Maiden Lane, which is the road we used to record on. And I was walking and I heard a man yell from very far down the road, "Yellow shoe wanker!" And at that point, I was wearing these yellow sports shoes that were luminous. They were, and he'd spotted me from like 100 yards away. The whole street turned.
So, but did you know him in that stage?
I did. Yeah,
Because like he was on Museum of Curiosity relatively early. So,
and he used to do all the warm-ups at QI back in the day before the recordings. Yeah,
he did. Yeah,
and there were a couple of pilots that QI tried to do back in the day, and Rufus was either a host or the panelist.
I mean, of course he knew you. Like he wouldn't have known necessarily you always wear yellow shoes, but he knows you're a wanker. So
yeah, that's the bit that wasn't the contested bit.
Right, time for another fact.
Yes, this one goes out to Vanessa Sterling. Vanessa, your fact is that there is a village in Russia where every single person knows how to tightrope walk.
Yeah.
I feel like some facts really stick out as a classic fish fact. And for me, that was one that I've remembered and thought about many times.
Do you know why? I think when we wrote our book, The Book of the Year, we considered writing another book. Do you remember we discussed it? And we were going to call it The Book of Now.
Yeah.
And the idea is that right now, somewhere in the world, this thing is happening. And there are loads of things happening. And one of them was in this village in Russia right now, everyone knows how to tightrope walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love the idea of that book. It's that image. Yeah. You wake up in the morning. Right now when you wake up, someone is tightrope walking here. There's a yellow shoe wanker going down Maiden Lane. Yeah, great idea.
Yeah,
great
really
well,
nice
we better
idea.
Not put it in the edit then, because someone will steal it if it's that good.
Well, that's okay, because we have evidence that we thought of it first.
Yeah.
Oh, let someone else do the work again. Yeah.
Publishers might be listening as well. We could sell our books here.
All publishers have turned off this podcast since Andy started working on his books. I think literally everyone in the publishing industry in London has just gone, oh, you know what, we're going to listen to Off Menu now.
Yeah. We really haven't considered the actual career damage that man has done to us with his buddy cop TV shows.
Okay, next fact.
All right. This one's going out to Max. Max, you know who you are. Your fact is, when making model railways, people make coal out of larger bits of coal. Whose fact could that have been?
Okay, hear me out, guys. Small coal cop. But actually, I think this fact, people have written into us on Drop Us a Line referencing this fact, haven't they? And I think, wasn't it true that someone had a wedding and the favours that they gave to all the guests was fake bits of coal, like actually made out of chocolate cake or whatever?
Chocolate coal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The reason was because they partly themed the wedding on fish, and this was like a these facts, and they sent us some of the coal, didn't they?
There'll be some here for you, Anna.
Some of the chocolate coal.
Yeah we all got our own little pouch.
Wow. I can't believe you've waited this long to tell me. See, this is the kind of thing I came back for. Here is a fact. I'm going to say the fact first this time, and then the person who's going to custard it.
Wow.
And this fact is that in Britain, pedestrians step to the right to avoid each other, and in Japan, they step to the left, and nobody knows why. And I'm going to hand that fact over to Max Scupperson to be the custodian of that.
Mm. Very nice.
It's a weird one. Which way do you step?
I think I step in the same direction as a person walking towards me, and then we both change our minds and step in the other direction, mm-hmm. and then both step in the other direction, and then go, oh, sorry, and then kind of slightly barge into each other.
And then you barge, and then you're making out, and then it's...
Yeah.
I'm like, God's sister, leave me alone. Is that a callback to so long ago, wasn't it?
Last week's The Fish, but good, she's a character now on the show. she'll enjoy that.
James, you got another fact?
Yes, I have. My last one for the day. This fact is under the custody of Keno. K-E-N-O. Could be Keno. Keno. But anyway, either way, your fact now, forever and forsaking all others, is that half of all California condors were raised by glove puppets.
Oh, yeah. Mm. This is great. This is a reintroduction program?
Yeah. Where... And I think one of the early ones, and it's been... Like a lot of other birds, they do similar things now, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
This is the idea that they attach very strongly to whoever raises them, and so you can't have a person, otherwise they'll be attached to that person, so the person dresses up as a condor.
Do they imprint? Is that what it's called? Or is that different?
No, they imprint. Right. Yeah. All right, Dan, final fact to close with. Make it a good one.
This goes to Gemma Harton, and you are now the custodian of the fact that the first ever novel ended mid-sentence.
Oh, yes, The Tale of Genji, written by that lady in ages ago.
Oh, yeah, in that country far away.
But that place, foreign place.
Erik Olufsen probably knows her. Probably friends with her.
Or John Jones. Yeah.
Well, that's a cracking fact to end on. I would say that because it's one of mine. But all great facts, guard them wisely. And thank you so much to all of those new custodians. So that is thank you to Timothy.
Sit.
God, he must get annoyed with that. Thank you to Timothy, Eric, Holly, Vanessa, Max, other Max, Max Scupperson, Kino, and Gemma. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Little Fish. If you want to listen to an episode of the Big Fish, the real podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish, we'll be back again on Friday. If you want to listen to another fake podcast, Little Fish, we'll be back again on Monday. And what else can you do?
What if they have some facts to send? Where would they send those?
Guys, if you've got some facts to send, you should send them to podcast@qi.com. And if you join up to the highest tier of Club Fish, you might get custodianship of one of our facts. And that's it from us. That's from James.
Yeah.
From Dan. Yeah. And from me, Anna.
And what do you say at the end of things?
And then thank you for listening to this podcast. We'll see you again sometime. Goodbye. Okay. It's harder than it looks, isn't it?
It is. And not to be nitpicky, but it's not that you might get custodianship if you sign up. You definitely will. It's part of the deal.
You will get custodianship of one of our facts if you sign up to our top tier. Do you want me to do it again? No. Normally.
Did Andy write your outro?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.